Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. And wow, the last day of 2017. Isn't that amazing? Trusting that our youth are having a great time. They are having a wonderful retreat. And I know that God does wonderful things with our young people during those moments. But resolutions, that is, I like that video. That was cute. Because it is kind of what we do. The Potbelly one especially, I know. I'm working on that one. That one is for sure going to happen. I said that last year too, but it's going to happen this year for sure. Resolutions. Things that we want to do, we probably know that we should do it, but then somehow it just never gets done. What does God have to say about these things? Barbara and I had an opportunity to see a really good movie. Some of you saw it already. It's an old movie. We just saw it on Redbox, Dunkirk. And I follow history quite a bit. I love history before, but it was interesting to see it on a screen. What's 2018 going to be? Is it going to be 1939? Something like a Dunkirk? Maybe a 1914? Some noble person in the middle of Europe gets shot, and next thing you know, everybody gets dragged in. What's it going to be? We absolutely have no idea what 2018 is going to be because, well, that's the future. We're not privy to that. Only God knows. But there are things that we can do. There are things that we can plan. Are there? I want to share with you a parable today, and next week we'll go back to 1 Corinthians, but I entitled the message, A Parable for the New Year. Interesting. Let me give you a little background to this parable before we get into it. This is Jesus. He's walking around. He's gone and ministering, and for 3 years, he ministered in just all kinds of ways, and he had a following. That was quite interesting. They weren't all believers. They just were interested in what is going on with this personality. There were thousands and thousands. Can you imagine everywhere you went, there were thousands of people following you? There's no television, none of those media things. Literally, the people were there following him. And they will encounter him in so many ways. They will ask him questions. He would do things. There will be miraculous happenings, and people will be amazed. And there will be more people that will come. So this particular time, as he was moving toward Jerusalem, toward that moment in which he came to die on the cross of Calvary for us, they didn't know that. They were just pressing in upon him. And every time they would go to him, he would teach them and tell them about the kingdom of God, the things that are important. Now remember, here is a carpenter, that's what Jesus was. He didn't carry a whole lot of baggage of anything. There was not a lot of wealth around him. There was 12 disciples who were not of any significance either. And there he was, and people are coming there, people great and small, asking him questions, asking him to tell them what is important about life. And he will focus on it. He will talk about the kingdom of God. But in this particular situation, it's interesting that as he was teaching them, one particular person said to him, "Teacher," is not in the scripture we read, it's a little earlier, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide up the inheritance with me." What? What is that about, right? You're like, what are you talking about? Out of the blue, this guy comes up and says, "Tell my brother to divide up the inheritance with me." Obviously, this guy had a family issue. And that is that his brother took all the inheritance of his family, and he didn't get any. So he went to Jesus and asked him to do that for him. And he said, why would this guy ask Jesus? Now, you have to understand, the Greek word that was used there was the word equivalent to rabbi. And if you understood what rabbis were back then, they were not just teachers. They were not just like pastors like me. They were more like judges even. So if you want something to happen, you will go to the synagogue, you will go to those places, and you will ask one of the rabbis, "Hey, rabbi, my brother did something to me, my neighbor did something to me, you fix it for me. You be the judge." So that's what he was doing. He was asking Jesus to be his judge. And Jesus responded by saying, "Who am I? I'm not your judge. You know, that kind of thing. But nevertheless, he did. He was hoping that Jesus would dictate to say, yes, your brother must give you half of it or something like that. But in the midst of that, Jesus caught something in this man and he understood that it is something that all of us have. He caught that this man was very concerned about worldly affairs, about his prosperity, his livelihood, his future. And so he said, listen, I want you to know something. Life does not consist of these things at all. And the word life here, if you went back to a little early verse, if you had your Bible with you in chapter 12 of Luke, the word life is the word zoe. Interesting. There's different words that they use in the Greek for life. This particular word is not biological life. He didn't say your life, your physical life, is not about these things. He says your life, your real life, all that matters in your life, the essence of who you are, the days that you live, the experiences that you have with your family, with your friends for eternity, is more than this. And then he went into the parable. So hopefully you can understand the parable situation right there. And then he began to tell a story. You know, I think if we really understood life as Jesus dictated to us, we would choose different actions, different choices, all different kinds of things. And I like this little thing that I have here, tomorrow loading. Isn't that how it is? We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen two months from now. We have no idea. We have an idea and hope, perhaps, but we really don't have any idea. So first of all, I want to share with you the plans, my actions. Jesus begins to tell this parable. Now, I know if you understand parables, you understand that Jesus used parables to tell truths, kingdom truths, to the people, because it's much easier to understand it in that way. He puts it in real life situation, stories that he tells. And so he began with this parable. He said, this guy, all right, this man who had a farm, the ground of a certain rich man, a big farm, yielded an abundant harvest. This is not about morality here. It's not a bad thing. Suddenly, if you got rich and prosperous, there's no deception here. He didn't go to his neighbor and steal and stole his neighbor's farm. His farm, his land, was very prosperous this particular year. It just grew. And he was a rich man already, and he's going to get a lot richer. So he stated that. I don't know how you guys are today. I do know in America, this last year has been a very prosperous year. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no immorality to it. Those of you that have investments, you know your investment grew quite a bit. Those of you that have houses, you know your houses became much wealthier or richer. There's all kinds of things that happened this year. There's no morality necessary to that unless you did something you shouldn't do. Maybe you just said, hey, my investor invested for me, and I am now, you know, two times what I was worth a year ago, maybe. That's what happened to this man. So something happened to him, something that seemed in the worldly context a blessing. But I want to tell you something. It's not necessarily a blessing that you become more prosperous, you know. I may have shared with you before, one of my friends who is with the Lord now, a great missionary in China, Paul Bartel, who went into the central part of China, one of the first missionaries there. And having lunch with him, he said to me, he says, Dan, everybody thinks that Chinese people are blessed with prosperity. And in fact, if you follow the Chinese culture, wherever we go, as far as people, you know, it doesn't matter what country it is, South America, Africa, Asia, wherever it is, they do prosper. You know, we can follow Chinese heritage that way. It's kind of like our parking lot. I was just noticing today, I was walking around, I saw nothing but Japanese cars. Ah, it's got to be an Asian church, right? I only saw one Chevrolet. That was it. So this is, you know, patterns here. But Paul Bartel told me, he says, you know, I don't see it as prosperity and not a blessing at all. It is a curse. It is a curse of materialism. That's how he saw it. So prosperity is not automatically a blessing. So don't assume that just because you get richer doesn't make you, well, oh, blessed by God. Or if you're poor, oh, you're not blessed by God. Not at all. It is just a situation. And Jesus here just gave a situation. A certain rich man, his ground yielded an abundant harvest. He didn't say that was a blessing. He didn't say that was a curse. He didn't say anything whatsoever. He said, this is what happened. Hope you understand that. Just because we live in America and we are blessed with so many things, at least for the last 200 plus years, does not make us more blessed than someone else in Indonesia or someone else in Africa who don't have nearly as much as us materially. But so because this happened to this man in this parable, Jesus went on and he said, he thought to himself, what shall I do? He wants to make plans. You know, what am I going to do in year 2018? Because I've been so blessed in 2017 materially. What am I going to do? He's going to make plans. And it's interesting here that his plans involve all the things about I and my. If you count it, if you go back to the scripture, if you have your Bible with you, you can find it, count it. In verse 17 and 18, you can find, and 19, you can find five instances in which you say, I will, I will, I will. It's all about I. And then if you add the my part of it, it's another four. That makes nine instances in the scripture that Jesus used to tell us about this man. He said, whoa, how selfish this guy is, how arrogant he is. You know what? He sounds just like us. What am I going to do in 2018? I've been so blessed. You know, I have so much. Man, my stock market portfolio has gotten so big. What should I invest in? Apple did so well for me. Maybe Microsoft, maybe a few other things. Maybe I'll stretch out there and take a risk here. I'm going to do that. And by the way, you know, my house is so valuable now. Maybe I should buy a couple more. How about build a few more? I have been so blessed, so we say. Interesting that as Jesus tells a story here, this parable, nowhere does this rich man say something like this. What would God want me to do? How can I bless God? I wonder how my neighbors did. His land didn't do so well. Maybe my village, I have too much. Maybe I can build something for the village there. There's a lot of poor people there. Didn't even talk about his family for that matter. Just talked about him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I think the important thing for us to understand as we go through scripture, and this is what Jesus told us, when someone asked him what's the most important commandment, Jesus said, what? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, et cetera, et cetera. And then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the first two most important things in life for us to do, if we are to make plans, is to plan on loving God and loving others. Not this guy. No, no. This guy's all about me, right? Well, let me encourage you to think about that. As you make plans for 2018. Whether you have been blessed materially, whether you have an abundance or not, you nevertheless have a life there. There's a year coming up, and we don't know how long this year will last. We don't know if there's 1939 or 1914 there, or who else. Why? We have no idea if a rocket from North Korea will fly in somewhere. We have no idea whether the explosion that's happening in Middle East will spread out. We have no idea whatsoever. They didn't think so either back then. But nevertheless, you have that life, and as you plan that out, is it going to be full of I's and my's and me and mine? Is it going to be that? Is that the plan that you will have for 2018? Because if it is, it will be a foolish plan. The second thing here, not only is he planning his actions, but he shares his passion. In verse 16, he says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger one, and there I will store my supply, surplus grain. And then in 19, he says, and I'll say to myself, that's one thing you got to be careful about. You know, every once in a while, I do something silly. I'll walk around and I'll just say something. And then Barbara's saying, are you talking to yourself again? You know, it's fine to talk to yourself as long as you don't get an answer. That's a little scary, right? But this guy's talking to himself. He says, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. That's his passion. I just love being rich. I love being rich. Take it easy. Go get the things you want that you always wanted. Do whatever. Take those vacations, you know. Take those trips there. Buy those things that make your house nicer. Whatever it is, that's his passion. His passion is whatever it pleases his physical needs or desires. As you plan your 2018, well, ask yourself that question. Do you have a passion? What kind of passion do you have? And you say, I've always wanted that car, you know. I've always wanted to live in that neighborhood. I always wanted that vacation home. I always wanted that vacation trip. Is that your passion? Not against any of this. Again, there's no morality here per se. Jesus is not saying he did anything illegal, unethical, immoral. Not so. This is his life. But what is your passion? What is it that you want to do? Do they relate to God whatsoever? Is there anything about God? You say, you know, I love to golf. I just love to golf. Golf, golf, golf. All right, nothing wrong with golfing. If that's your passion, are you stuck on it? Has it become your idol? Is it idolatrous? You can have an idol that is nothing wrong with it, but because you are elevated to a place where you replace God, it becomes idolatry. Maybe you have something you really want. You always crave this thing. I'm going to do that this year. That can include all kinds of stuff, bad stuff, but also even good stuff. What is your passion? Do you have a passion that glorifies God? Do you have a passion that ministers to people? I mean, is there a passion in your life that you can fill it up with? And if God does bless you with material things, you can plug those things into the passion. And if you don't have such material blessings, it doesn't matter. That passion still goes on. You still can pray for that. You still can minister to that. You can still do things, whatever your passion is. This man had a passion. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's a passion that can be equated to many, many people in this world. They'll say different things. They'll bring about all kinds of other things, but it essentially is whatever is good for me so that I can eat, drink, and be merry, be happy. I just want to be happy. And the sad thing about it is, you know, people that really want this, they don't get it. How do you know, Pastor? How do you know they don't have it? I don't know. You know, you got the addiction in the tens of millions of people who need something to help them to get this. Even though they have everything, they can't have enough. They need more alcohol. They need more drugs. They need more this and that and that and that. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let me encourage you to have some passion for some good stuff. You know, I ask the Lord to give me passion for different things. You know our passion, some of them. We love ministry. We just love ministry. We love just being with people, sharing how good God is. We love caring for needy people. That's why we do what we do, you know, even at a distance, even though we can't go there often. We love caring and ministering to orphans. I love getting letters from the Philippines. And Chris tells me what the kids are doing. I read her letters, how little Mary, she's a little girl now, she's becoming a college student. She has a heart problem, but you know, God has ministered. Those things fill my passion. I like reading about them. All these little kids, you know, barefooted, running around through the forest of this land that they just purchased. Hopefully many more kids will be there. Those things, they fill me with joy. These are some of my passions. What are your passions? third thing that the Lord said here in this parable. Talked about the cost. Verse 20, but God said to him, remember, this is not a real person, this is a parable person, but Jesus wanted people to understand. You fool. This is not a word you use, you know. Jesus doesn't just use this word. This word is a powerful word. It's a word that depicts unbelievable just sadness. You fool. So here's a man who has been blessed from a material setting by the world. And God calls him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. You know, this past Wednesday, we said our goodbye as a church in a memorial service to our dear sister Ruth. And one other thing I said, and I believe it with all my heart, is that we all have a different journey. God has given to every one of us a different journey. And the journey can be long, can be short. The issue is not the longevity of the journey. It's not how long or short it is. It is what's in it, the intensity of it, the passion in it, what you do with it. You have no idea whether you will live tomorrow. You can't possibly know. I couldn't know that the moment I drive out of this parking lot later on, that somebody wouldn't hit me and I'll be with the Lord. I couldn't know that. Those things happen all the time. You know, the problem with humanity is this, oftentimes, and it's not just in America today. All these many, many years and decades and centuries, we think we live forever. And indeed we do, but not like this. We think we live forever. Tomorrow is going to be right there. The sun's going to rise for us again. And the fact of the matter is proven again and again and again and again. We don't. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. So what is our cost in life? The Lord Jesus wanted the people to hear it. He wants us to understand that the future is not ours. We don't hold it. We don't hold a minute of it. Every single one of us, you need to know, Jesus knows already how long you will live. He knows that. Are you going to live to 100? Or are you going to live to 50? Are you going to live to 30? Or are you going to live to 70? We don't know. We have no idea. But he does. What a foolish person it would be for us to plan life out as if we will never die. Tonight, your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? I don't know how many times I've been a part of helping family go through funerals. You know, I tell you, afterwards, it's always the same thing, you know. What do you do with all this stuff? Families will come and take care of it. And if someone has a will, they'll go on. There'll be an estate and all that kind of stuff. The one thing I know never happens, nobody takes anything away with them. You know, once upon a time, a long time ago, funerals were different. And you don't put your own clothes on, actually. Now we do. You know, we put your favorite clothes, your dress, your suit, and so forth. Back in those days, in the 70s, the funeral home would put your clothes on, usually just typical. I remember reading a story about how, you know, the suits and jackets that they put on the deceased, they don't have any pockets. You know the pockets here? There's no pockets. It just looks like a pocket. You never have it. Makes sense, right? What would you put in it? Where are you going? No need for pockets. Because that's what happens. We go back to the Lord. You know, we know Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. We will see him, Lord willing, you know, that you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And whatever is here is gone. It doesn't matter. Because life is that way. And then a verse that I didn't put here in verse 21,
The Lord said after he finished the parable, he said, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. He didn't say whether he's a believer or not. He didn't say whether he was a good person or a bad person. He just stated it. This is how it's going to be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. So what we are told as we plan our lives, whether it's every day or whether in the beginning of a year like this year, as we plan for tomorrow, 2018, what are we going to do? We need to plan so that we can be rich toward God and not for ourselves. What does that mean? Well, I want to give you three guidelines. Just keep these three things in mind. Okay. First of all, take the eye out of your life. Begin to talk and think this way. What will bless God as I make my choices? You know, I go to the gym and I work like crazy and I get rid of my pot belly and lose my 25 pounds I need to. Is that going to bless God? I'm going to do it. Yes, it's going to help me too. But would that bless God? What are the choices I'm going to make? All the stuff that God has given to me, allow me to be a caretaker of whatever it is. How would I bless God? Because the most important thing in my life is to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength and everything. How can I do that? So the first thing to do is take the eye out and begin to put God in there. The second thing, how can I bless people? Again, take that eye out and say, how can I bless these people? How can I bless my family? How can I bless my friends? How can I bless my co-workers? How can I bless the church that God has brought me to? If it's CBC, then it is. If it's another church, it's another church. How can I bless people? Strangers that I meet. You make plans for those things. Perhaps the Lord has put in your heart something like this. You know, I see all these homeless people. I see all these beggars around, right? You meet them all the time. We just ignore them because we're not supposed to give them anything because we don't know what in the world they're buying, right? Maybe you can plan out, if God is burdening you with that, see, you know what? I'm going to give them something, not the things that are bad. I'm not going to give them any money, but I'm going to put little packages in my car. So when they come up to me, I can give it to them. Maybe some socks in it. We have packages in the office that we designed for that. You know, little bottles of water, a little food, a little tractor maybe, something that will help. Because if the Lord has burdened you to care about them, that's what you do. Maybe something else. Every week, you know, once in a while, I want to go somewhere. There's a place that they minister to people. I want to go and do that. You know, whatever the Lord has brought into your heart, how can I minister to somebody else? Plan for that. And perhaps somebody, you know, the Lord has blessed you in wonderful ways, just like this person, you know. Last year was such a great big amount of prosperity in my 401k or my portfolio, whatever. I'm going to do something with it. They're a ministry that needs to be blessed. I remember being, I shared with you before, I'll do it again, redundant but overly emphasizing it, when I was an interim director of a seminary. One of the reasons why we had this big program, it was for particularly Chinese students, but Asian students overall, was because one man in Hong Kong decided that God has blessed him, and he donated almost the whole his estate. Well, actually not estate, because he hadn't passed away yet, to our seminary. He got his sons and all the children together and said, you know what, you're not going to get anything. Is that okay? I want to give this to the Lord. They all agreed, and he did. It came out to be about $5 million. And because of that, many students went to seminary and studied. He went to be with the Lord a couple years after that. What a tremendous choice he made. I'm on three other boards besides this church. And one of the boards I'm in is the Baptist Student Ministry in Texas, BSM. And in our board, as we go through our meetings, we hear things. We see things. We have 18 schools that we minister in Texas. One of them is U of H. Another one's Baylor, of course, and so forth. There's a bunch of people that have endowed a significant amount of their money to be a son. I mean, when I say significant, I'm talking about $1 million, $1.5 million, $500,000. These are people that God has blessed materially, but they made a choice that not only are they going to be rich toward God and bless God, they're going to bless people. Sure, they can buy another house. Sure, they can buy another couple cars. They can do all those things, but they made a choice not to. And the amazing thing is, those are rich people, but I also see a whole bunch of not rich people who's giving $10,000, $50,000. Money that they can use from themselves all day long. But they don't. Because they decided to be rich toward God. See? So be rich toward God. Think about the Lord. Take the eyes out of yourself. Be rich toward people. See the ministries that are out there. There are so many. You cannot miss them if you look. And the third thing, as you plan out 2018, just know your mortality. You're not going to live forever like this. I'm not. Just know your mortality. If you were to die this year in 2018, would it be a great year anyway? Or would you have missed out on possibilities? Don't forget that you are not immortal, not in this life. Don't forget about your mortality. And that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted this man and all the people and us along with it to understand what life is about. If we are to plan it well, we will succeed. I hope you succeed in 2018. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you give to us, Lord, the possibilities, Lord. And if you bless some of us materially, we thank you for that too. But Lord, would you help us to be not this person? Would you help us not to be a rich fool or a poor fool? Would you help us not to be a fool? But would you help us to be men and women who can bless you, bless the gospel, and minister to people? Allow us to do that in 2018, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.